Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode. By far, the most popular thing that we get asked about is whiteboarding. And it's fascinating because it reminds me of how the iPhone went from, you know, having five buttons to now it's like no buttons on the screen. And it was like, you know, less and less and less and less, and how simplicity can be so attractive. And so today we're going to talk more about specifically how to get business and how that works through whiteboarding. We're going to talk about the art and science of whiteboarding. So you've been whiteboarding for how many years now?
4 years.
Okay. How do you today, how do you, when that, you get that marker in your hand, how does that change your mood, your excitement, your engagement? Like as an advisor, when you're at the whiteboard, what are you feeling now that you've been doing it for 4 years? Versus sitting across from talking to a client. How's it different?
For me, it's kind of game time. Like I'm on. I think yeah. When I played basketball, it was you practice things and you're there, you're watching film. But like when you walk on the court for a game,
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Everything you have done has come to this moment.
Yeah.
And it's your time to shine.
Can I be more specific? Because you're 6'4"?
Ish.
Shoes okay. on. With shoes on. Okay. All right. I was picturing even you like in the post, and maybe you're forward to top of the key or whatever, but like you're like, give me the ball. And like you get the ball and you're like backing somebody down. Like I just think, and like the confidence, like I got this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like to me, when I see you whiteboarding, it's like, it never looks like effort because it just seems like, just give me the ball, man. You know what I mean? Just give me the ball. And that's what we want people to get to. But again, we're asked about it so much that we have so much training on this. We have a new training called Whiteboard University. You go to whiteboardu.com. That's the letter U, whiteboardu.com. But we've really broken down, and we've had to sort of reverse engineer this because you're like, I just do this. But we've broken it down so that other people can do it.
Yep.
It doesn't come as naturally to everyone. But really, there's four, and some of them are very short, but they're also specific sort of steps to an effective whiteboarding. And the first is the sign. And the sign is really anything that just triggers, oh, I have an idea about that, right? And the cool thing about a sign is that it's going to indicate a direction. Okay, I can go this way or that way. I can take this path or not take this path. And sometimes a client will give you a sign, and sometimes you have to like insert the sign or insert, oh, hey, let's talk about this topic. As you've grown as an advisor, what are the things you do? What are the kind of questions you ask to try to pull out signs or ideas or needs that they might want to address so that you can whiteboard about them? What are you asking them to pull that out?
I think what's helpful to recognize as I look back is all this stuff was already happening in my mind.
Yeah.
Like if you know your job, like you have ideas. When people say things, it makes you think of stuff. And I think that the baseline for our business is fact finder, gather data. And then we come back and try to sell product to solve those problems.
Yeah.
Which again, it helps people. There's a good chance they're better off after they buy the product than before they bought the product.
Yeah.
But you have to decide what kind of advisor you want to be. For me, I was challenged to say, I'm not giving a great experience if I was the client.
Yeah.
There are clients out there that just don't know what else to do. They got referred to you or they stumble upon you and they don't know what questions to ask. They don't really want to interview five advisors, so they will do business with you. So a lot of things in our business just work well enough. I wanted to maximize my impact. I wanted to help clients take action. And I had to realize like I would need more than I'm giving now in a fact finder and just talking to somebody with illustrations.
Yeah.
And so whiteboarding for me was the exercise of saying, okay, what does it look like to take everything that's happening in my mind that makes sense to me and transfer it to this person that does not have years and years of living in this business.
Yeah.
So step one of that for me was as I gathered the information on the fact finder, I'm going to get to certain areas and I'm going to teach a little deeper on that.
Absolutely. Because what you just described there of, and a lot of people are living here, in this space, and you need to get out of it. You got to move. All right. Pack your bags. You got to move to whiteboarding, which is that it's, I just want to get a bunch of information and then I'll take it and I'll get back to you. That is not dynamic. That is not memorable. That is not unique. Yeah. That is industry average, and average is not good.
Yeah, okay. I think we all need to agree. And I feel comfortable saying this because we've worked with thousands of advisors now, and most agree. Some disagree at first, and then they realize, yeah, okay, you're right. This is the way to do it. If you are a coach and advisor, this is how you do it. You it's engaging, it's interactive. And so we're going to proceed in this podcast as if everyone listening knows that there's a better way to communicate, and most people will understand it better if you do it visually with some energy and excitement behind it. So we are assuming that if you are dead set that sitting across with a yellow pad and talking at somebody with illustrations is the best way,
then skip this one.
But for everybody else,
right,
we're going to unpack and try to show you, you know, there's version one of whiteboarding, which is you getting up there and it doesn't go great. Maybe it feels a little awkward, and that's fine because version one gets us to version 10.
Yeah.
But there's a way to a structure behind it where you can say, okay, how do I do it the right way?
Right.
And it takes practice and reps.
But we have a framework that I'm confident that we made this framework so that in your head, you can go, oh, that was a sign. Like in your mind, you're going to go, that was a sign that someone has mentioned. Maybe you can jot it down. Mm-hmm. That is a sign like, okay, I could go whiteboard about that. And a lot of times we get asked, and we're going to go way in depth. We've got another dozen of these, that the next part of this in Whiteboard University would be the signal. And the signal is just like with a car, right? And I only get mad at people if they don't signal. If you want to drive 89, fine. Just use your signal, okay, in a 7, okay? But like that's telling people where you're going to go. And as an advisor, if someone says something, then we have signals that we teach advisors. Sometimes this comes to you naturally, but we also have some that we're just going to teach you in Whiteboard University. Some examples of this, and it's funny because I'll have Sten do stuff. And I'll go, do you realize you said that like 5 times? He's like, no, I just said it. You don't realize it. But here's some examples of really good signals. And a signal is telling the prospect or the client, hey, we're going to go talk about this, without saying we're going to talk about this. Here's an example. Has anyone ever taken the time to explain long-term care in a way that really makes sense to you? That's a signal that says, now we're going to go talk on, now I'm going to go to the board. A bad signal would be, do you understand long-term care? Like, that's like a stop sign. You know what I mean? Like, no, maybe, yes, right? Another one is, after I show you this, you'll feel much better about this area of your finances. Like, that's a reassuring thing. And I'm going to go show you. So signals are just a way for you to transition from they just said something to I'm going to go get to the board.
Yep.
And then we come to the good part, which is the bridge. And the bridge is basically going to take them over the bridge from not understanding to understanding. And there's only two things that you need to worry about understanding to teach people. And one is strategies and one is concepts. Strategies are quantifiable, right? You can do some math on them. And they all have to have three elements, which is you have to be able to illustrate them, personalize them, and quantify them. Give me an example of really one of the more basic ones. We've talked about this before, but that you think is sort of fun to illustrate, personalize, and quantify, because people go, oh, I didn't understand that. And now I just get it. Like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Business owner space, like paying your kids, lands really well. Cost segregation can be really attractive.
Yeah.
You can even go from like, hey, you're not funding a SEP IRA to what if you funded a SEP IRA?
Yeah.
These are things that these people maybe have heard about before, but don't understand. But if you can put numbers to it and put it to their situation, they come to life.
Right, right. So when it comes to illustrating that, it's fascinating because, you know, we were at a workshop last month in California, and, you know, we're having people illustrate something for the first time, and they're so frustrated and they're nervous. And then we go, okay, that's good. And there'll be 4 or 5 other advisors around. And then we'll say, okay, now let's do it. Now the next person, do the same one.
Sure.
And then they learn, and the next person, the same one. So that's the kind of stuff we'll do in Whiteboard U. But this is illustrating, it does take practice to do it cleanly and concisely and clearly. And that's the kind of stuff we're going to do. And then another is with the concept.
These principles are virtual or in person. So as you're listening to this, if you say, I meet with half my clients virtually, well, I have an iPad with Notability on it that links up and I can still illustrate. In person is great. I love that. The energy in the room is great. But just know that this is universally true. There's a better way to communicate to clients so they can understand it. And a confused mind says no. Simplicity is a gift. These are principles that we teach people. And whiteboarding has to start tomorrow if you're not doing it.
So another thing I'll say about the digital or the virtual is that I find for myself when I'm doing these illustrations with advisors, and many other advisors said the same thing to me, that they really like the virtual, especially with Notability, because you can draw the most ugly box in the world. But at the end, if you pause and you stop at the end of drawing that box, it will make it a perfect square or rectangle, and you kind of drag it around. So the technology is there to make this so much easier, where you're like, man, I just stink at drawing. I'm like, welcome to the club. Yeah. You know what I mean?
For me, it's exceeding expectation. If somebody comes to your office or jumps on a Zoom, they're expected to be spoken at.
Yeah.
And maybe share a screen on some stuff.
Yeah.
In person, it's, I'm about to be interrogated for information. They're probably going to say some stuff I don't understand. At the end of it, I'm maybe going to do what they tell me to do.
Yeah.
At some point, you will exceed expectations, and you will hear things like, I've never had a meeting like this before. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there were advisors like this. Because whether somebody knows it or not, they're coming in with an expectation. And unfortunately, in our business, the bar is pretty low.
It is low. And I think that, again, people just expect, hey, we're going to sit across from each other and talk. And that's it. And the minute you start to use and maximize the technology you have in front of you, people will be more engaged, right? Mm-hmm. The other part with the concepts is, and again, we break this down really down to a science, is that the concept is simplifying a larger idea. One of the problems that, and we go way into depth in this with Whiteboard University, but we have seen, and oftentimes it's the more experienced advisors who try to explain a concept by then mentioning 9 financial products. Mm-hmm. Like in this bucket is these 9 things, and they don't know what 7 of them are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can over explain. You can go too far into whiteboarding where you lose people. It's like a class where really, anytime you're on a monologue, we have a program we use internally at EDN called Fathom, and it'll run while you're on a Zoom call, and it has a monologue warning that'll pop up. And yes, it pops up for me often, but at a minute 30, it'll flash yellow and it'll say monologue.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that's something as advisors, you need to be aware of, because people's expectations, gratefully, are low, mm-hmm. but you can exceed them. You can be elite in your delivery.
Yeah. We challenge that if you can teach something in under 90 seconds. There will be follow-up questions. You can build on it, but it's amazing to meet these advisors that have been in the business for 20 years, and something like the 3 buckets turns into this like 6, 7, 8 minute. And it's like, do you really understand it enough? Like if you can do it in sub 90 yeah. seconds, I believe you have a better understanding of it, the core part, and to be able to illustrate it. So simplicity is a gift. And we challenge our advisors in our community. They'll send us recordings. We're like, great, do it again. Great, do it again. And yeah. what you're doing is you're just getting rid of fluff
yeah.
and noise. And you're getting like the core principle that really matters to the person. And then from there, build it back if you need to dive deeper. But the least viable product, that's what we have to go. Is get as simple as possible and then build on it from there.
I'd say the 2 things that will help people the most, either going through our whiteboard videos, there's some free ones on our site. GoBeElite.com or going through Whiteboard University and really saying, hey, I'm going to make this a superpower. One of the key things is that they will make it overly technical. They use phrases that once you use a word that I don't understand, like I'm out. And I'm like, I don't.
Most people are not going to stop
and say,
continuously ask you to kind of define and unpack things.
Right.
And I think one of the biggest issues for a lot of us advisors is when we say things, it makes sense. And most of us do this when we explain something, our mind is filling in gaps.
Mm.
The way it comes out or we hear it is different than somebody receives it.
Right.
And so what visually illustrating and walking through, it gives somebody time to ask questions, but it also helps us realize maybe where we're jumping things or making assumptions.
So this is how far in depth we're going to go into help you understanding how to change your habits with clients. As an example, when you ask clarifying questions with clients, you shouldn't say, after you explain a concept or a strategy, you shouldn't say, does that make sense? Because most of the time, they're going to just say yes by default. Like that's not they're going to default to that. A better question would be, so let's put this in here and let's do this together. Like let's put this option in here and let's run these together. So as an example, Stan, you developed the investment decision filter, and you can run lots of different things through the investment decision filter. So if someone really understands it, you say you explain the investment decision filter and you say, hey, just for kicks, let's put a lottery ticket in here. Mm-hmm. And if you put a lottery ticket through the investment decision filter, the client's going to go, yep, I understand it. Mm. You know, risk, pretty low. It's $5. You know, returns, potentially pretty high. Taxes are going to be high. You know, like, you know, you can, then they understand it because it's like, okay, now let's do it together.
Yep.
And these are all the small nuanced things that people who really want to be elite are focusing on. It's getting rid of the fluff. It's not relying on only compliance approved materials. Again, use those, that's fine, but sparingly. Sten, when you go into a meeting one with this, whiteboarding versus either an empty legal pad or lots of illustrations, how has the meeting dynamic changed for you, let's say 7 years ago, before to now, when it comes to the energy you bring to meetings, and then also just how many meetings you have to have, or I should say how few meetings you have to have now to really get people on board? Because it's really about getting business, right?
That's right.
So whiteboarding speeds up. I mean, that's the promise, is it will help you get business faster. Yeah. So how does whiteboarding help you get business faster?
Yeah, or it helps you identify who you want to do business with faster.
Sure.
Sometimes you don't want them. There's not a lot of value to add. And I spent years, because I will, without hesitation, say for a long time, I was a salesperson. I wasn't a coach. I wasn't an advisor, because my goal was to gather data and come back and sell you something that would fix that problem. Very transactional. But I called myself an advisor. I think most of us think we're advisors, but we're not really advising and coaching. Whiteboarding immediately puts you into a different category. And so I go into a meeting now more excited than I used to be.
Yeah.
Obviously, charging for your advice helps, because whether you need product or not, I can get paid. We can work together. Where before, if you didn't have money to move or insurance to buy, I would just have to move on and try to either force something that maybe wasn't quite needed yet.
Right.
Or I'd have to just exit the meeting and go on to the next person. And so whiteboarding for me was a new challenge in the business. Improve my ability to communicate to people.
For sure.
But if you want to create urgency, and what we use the word is appropriate urgency, because we're not trying to make stuff up to scare people to buy stuff.
Right.
You have to communicate in such a way that they understand it, and then quantify it in such a way to where they're like, okay, is this a big problem or a small problem? People don't solve small problems. We all have a bucket of small problems sitting over there that we're going to get to someday. I have a stack of books that I'm like, man, I'd love to read those. But if somebody said, man, if you read this book, it's going to 10X your business. Like, now that book's maybe at the top of the stack.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to say, because we can talk about whiteboarding forever. I love it. And it changed me as an advisor, where I went from selling to advising and coaching, and people feel that in the room, is you have the choice to dabble in something or be great at it. We all have a limited amount of time. I would challenge all of us that as advisors, we have to be master communicators. We are in the business of communicating things to people and trying to convince them to take action for their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of years frustrated that people wouldn't do what I was telling them to. And I was like, why do I want this more than you do?
Yeah.
And finally, I had to step back and be like, that's not a them problem. That's probably a me problem. Like, what if the issue of all these people not taking action is me? And so as I venture down this path of just becoming a better communicator, which involves whiteboarding, which involves like a structure, I always have an agenda in the meeting. I'm bringing a level of professionalism that I didn't have before. I close people really fast. They leave excited. When they write checks for planning, they're happy to do it. It's less like this is being forced on them and now the feeling is more of like, wow, thank you. Like this was great.
When can we get started?
When can we meet again? When can we get started? And so my challenge, and this is really the heart behind Whiteboard University, and this was requested by so many people
after
we built it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is we want you to be great at this. Because once you go down this road, you'll never go back. You'll never say, I want to go back to the old way, the average way. So it's not if you should do this, it's how quickly will you dive in. But I want to challenge you in everything, why be average? If you really lean into it, go through Whiteboard University, practice this with your peers, get in front of clients, get version one out of the way, which feels awkward, so you can get to version 10. Because if you can harness this, you will be in a different league compared to other advisors. If you ever have a client where you go up, or a prospect where you go up against other advisors, and you do this and they do not, you will win that business almost 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. It is that.
Yeah, it's such an incredibly different experience that it's almost incomparable. I mean, think of the worst restaurant you've been to and the best one, and you go, well, they're kind of technically both restaurants, but only technically, right? And one you're excited to give your money to, and the other one you'll never give another dollar to, and you avoid it and tell the people not to go to it.
Yeah.
And the other one you refer people to. So I would encourage you to check out whiteboardu.com. Our promise there is that you will leave not just learning a few planning ideas and strategies and concepts, but you'll actually have a framework for whiteboarding so that you can then whiteboard other ideas on your own as you come across them. We want to teach you how to fish. We want to teach you how to become a great whiteboarder. And then the last piece is there are some optional cohorts, which are smaller groups of advisors. I'll actually be coaching you in those small groups, only four or five other advisors and myself, and really going through your whiteboarding more hands-on. And that's an option as well. So At the time of this, check out whiteboardu.com. If it's full, you can sign up for the next session coming up in about a month. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for listening to that episode. I want to invite you to tune into episode 167 that we'll be releasing in February of 2025. It specifically interviews three different advisors about their experience adding planning or improving their planning business based on the things that we teach at our live event and in our coaching program. And the reason I think that you're going to really enjoy it is because it's advisors with different amounts of experience implementing planning in different ways, who all paid their own money, their own investment to come and to get trained or coached by us. And I think you'll be encouraged to hear about how they implemented what they learned. And I hope, and Sten and I, we both hope that you'll consider joining us at our in-person event in April of 2025, because that really is where we find advisors who take the time to step out of their day-to-day life, who then go home and implement what we teach, that they find the most success. And that's what we want for you, to become an elite advisor. And so please check out that episode, episode 167. And as always, thanks for listening.